Bruce Van Dyke.
I'm Craig Adams.
It is the WEOL Morning Show, and we're going to try to help you with a little bit of child modification. How does that sound?
I like it.
You like that term for that? Mm-hmm. Joining us to talk about some stress-free discipline is Dr. Pete Stavanoa, who joins us this morning. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the strategies that you've kind of put together here in stress-free discipline. I guess the first thought is, how can you make it stress-free?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? You know, the idea with the whole stress-free approach is really, I mean, certainly I understand that parenting is difficult and stressful, and I've gone through it myself. But the idea is really to empower parents to feel confident and to feel like they know what they're doing. And that always helps. The more information they have and the more things that they know about child behavior and the strategies to apply in certain situations, I think that the more confident they feel and the less stressed they feel, even though kids are still going to act up and parents are going to have to respond.
Doctor, how important is consistency?
Consistency is essential. You know, I think that if we understand child behavior as sort of the something happens or something's going on, there's a situation, the child typically is responding to what's going on around them, or there's something that they want, or they're frustrated or something, and then they're going to act out. Then the consequence of that behavior is either going to reinforce that behavior and make it more likely for that behavior to occur again, or it's going to make it less likely. So how a parent responds is going to help to shape that behavior. So if parents, you know, if a single parent or two parents are responding very differently to a child behavior, that's going to send confusing messages to the child. And so one parent may be reinforcing a behavior while another parent is undermining that and maintaining the behavior. And that's very difficult for kids to navigate, especially younger kids.
Well, let's talk a little bit about younger kids. How do we know what their problem is? What's going on with them? What?
Well, the problem is just being young most of the time. Most of the time, you know, child behavior is pretty normal stuff. You know, as frustrating as it can be and as difficult and as it is, it's usually stemming from just normal child development. So kids are naturally curious. They want to get into things. Younger kids don't communicate all that well with words, and so they can't tell us when they're frustrated or angry or even tired or hungry necessarily. And so a lot of times what they're doing is simply acting out on either some of those kinds of feelings, or they're acting on, you know, something that we can't necessarily put our finger on, or they're simply curious and getting into stuff. And so if we understand it that way, we don't necessarily have to assume that there's some sort of a negative intent or you know, the same kind of thing that we might assume in an older kid or in an adult. And again, I think that helps take away some of the stress because, you know, a child acts out, they have a tantrum, and of course parents are worried and thinking, oh my gosh, what's wrong with my kid? Well, probably he's just normal. Probably he's just having tantrums. And so if you just kind of come from that approach, that keeps our anxiety down and keeps our stress down as parents, and we just deal with the situation in front of us.
We're talking about stress-free discipline. Our guest today, Dr. Pete Stavanoa. Give us some maybe a scenario and maybe how a proper technique would work to kind of help in a situation for discipline.
Sure. You know, one of the things that I experienced a few times early on with my son was tantrums in the grocery store. That seems to be something that I get asked a lot about and certainly experienced myself. And so, you know, a couple of the – one is, as you mentioned, consistency. So dealing with his tantrums in the grocery store in a very consistent manner. And I had to stay really calm. I'm sort of shy and reserved by nature. I blush very easily. And so, you know, I found myself on the floor of the grocery store sort of sitting with him in a timeout, sweating, and other parents are looking at me, and I'm turning beet red probably. But the consistency that I kept during those tantrums diminished those tantrums very quickly. We only had, you know, a small handful. Another thing that I actually did with him was one of the techniques in the book that we describe is practice going to the grocery store. So there was one or two times when I went into the grocery store and I literally took him up and down the candy and toy aisle, almost trying to provoke a tantrum, but just basically showing him, you know, here's appropriate grocery store behavior. And then I was able to praise and reinforce him when he wasn't throwing tantrums and when he was denied the candy or the toy that he was reaching for, and just sort of showing him that this is how we behave in a grocery store.
Doctor, is it then not a good idea to take that child out of the grocery store?
No, actually, that can be very appropriate to do. And I think, you know, especially there are some kids that are going to persistently have tantrums in the grocery store, even when parents are responding appropriately. And so leaving the store is a perfectly appropriate thing to do. And, you know, one of the things that I like to tell parents is you have to understand what your liabilities are when you take a child to the grocery store, let's say, as the example. And so you if you really need to get stuff at the store and that's really essential, well, it's always an option, if possible, to leave the child at home. But what you don't want to do is you don't want to find yourself in the store needing to get certain items and wait in a long line while your child is having a tantrum. Because what happens is it sort of raises the risk that you're going to just give in and you're going to give that child the candy or the toy or something to just quiet them down. But if you do that, what you've done is you've just bought yourself more tantrums at the store, because the child has learned, if I throw the tantrum, then I'm going to get rewarded for it.
Let's fast forward like they do in soap operas, and now the child is like 12, you know, and you're uh-huh. dealing with sort of the eye rolling or the your discipline's right. not going to work anymore, because I really know how this works. How do we, I guess, upgrade our discipline age appropriately?
Sure, sure. So, you know, in that sort of thing, especially the eye roll, and it's actually a great example, because it's exactly what kids are going to do, and it's one of the things that, you know, really presses buttons for parents. And so you certainly have the option to simply ignore it. You know, you don't want to reinforce it. If you draw attention to it, sometimes even negative attention, sometimes what the child is sort of thinking is, I just found mom's button, and so I know how to do it, and boy, all it takes is rolling my eyes. That's easy. So sometimes ignoring it actually is an appropriate strategy. But a lot of times you just, what I did with our kid is we just would say, you know, do that again. You know, what I need you to do is I need you to give me an appropriate response. So I want you to look at me and say, yes, Dad, without rolling your eyes. And so you're sort of calling them out, but again, you're not drawing over too much attention to it. You're not reinforcing the behavior, but you're sort of making them practice it and do it again in a much more appropriate way.
The book is called In Stress, It's Stress-Free Discipline. You take us through different types of strategies. What are some of the things, how do we know we're succeeding? Just because everything's calm? Or, you know, because sometimes just because maybe they're ignoring us and we're ignoring them, and so there isn't interaction, and there's no stress, no problem. How do we know it's working well for us?
So a lot of it really is just sort of the avoidance of the negative behaviors. You know, if you've got a child that seems reasonably well adjusted, they're interacting with others pretty well, you know, they're doing okay at school, you feel like you have a reasonably good relationship with them, they're, you know, getting along with their siblings okay, you know, to me those are going to be the indicators that you're doing it right. And so if something really goes awry in there, you know, they really are having trouble with one or another of those areas, you know, that's a sign that there's something going on that you probably need to address.
And of course, every child is an individual, so what works on one may not work on the other?
Absolutely. Every child brings their own temperament to this. They have their own personality. And I think it's important for parents to recognize that parents have different temperaments as well. And so if, you know, you're a strong-willed parent and you need to get your way, and you've got a strong-willed child who needs to get their way, well, you know, that sort of sets things up sometimes to not go so well. And so parents do need to be aware of sort of their own approach and their own personality in these situations to make sure that they're doing something appropriate to their kid and not either getting into just a headbutting battle with them and trying to overpower a strong will, but also sort of shaping that behavior in the most appropriate way.
And I assume also that's sort of where the balance comes for both parents. Each of them knows the strengths and sort of weaknesses and how to handle situations, and some may have a better ability to handle one child than another, I suppose.
Absolutely, and I think sometimes parents feel badly about that. You know, they feel badly that they feel like one parent has a better relationship with a kid than another, because they're able to manage them and discipline them more easily. But that's perfectly normal, and you know what I always tell parents is, you guys need to talk amongst yourselves and find out who has strengths. You know, just figure out what each parent's strengths and what each parent's weaknesses are, because sometimes simply knowing that and talking about that between two parents is a great way to avoid, you know, blow-ups, because you can easily, behind the scenes, you know, sort of stick one parent in the role that they are good at and avoid the other parent's weaknesses.
Well, as they say, sometimes take after one or the other parent, and depending on which, you got two positive, two negative, which ones, you know, how it interacts and interlocks together may make for less stress in it. It's called stress-free discipline. Our guest today has been Dr. Pete Stavanoa. Thanks for sharing the details with us, and hopefully we've got some people thinking of good parenting skills this morning.
Well, thank you all for having me.